That's a bit better. Makes me look a bit taller than I am.
Can I pray for you, Bob?
Oh, please, yeah. Pray for me. Okay. Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Okay, you can all join in this.
Yes, Lord. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
Mm. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for Bob's service to you and to your body, to the church, over all those many, many years, Lord. Well, I didn't mean that many, but, you know. Just, but, yeah, thank you, Lord, that he's been so faithful. Such an encouragement to so many people that have gone through these doors, and at New Life as well. We thank you for his humility, Lord God. We thank you for that sort of wealth of wisdom that you've, it's like a well, Lord God, that you've created him to be, Lord God. So, as we hear, from Bob today, Lord, we pray that you would feed your church, Lord, that you would build us up, that you would encourage us, Lord, that we would leave knowing you a little bit more, Father. In your name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Daniel. Well, good morning. Father's Day. Oh, my goodness me, how much I have learned from my children over the years as a dad. As we were driving through Muswell Hill today, I was saying to Vicky, whenever I go through Muswell Hill, I remember an incident early one Saturday morning. Stop laughing, Vicky. Early one Saturday morning, we were there, the four of us. I think I was holding one of the children's hands, and Vicky was sort of holding, holding that other child's hands, another one. So it was sort of Bob, child, Johnny or Sarah, Vicky, child. And we wandered across the road, and being the kind of, you know, instinctive person I am, I just saw a gap and went for it and just dragged the whole family with me. And Vicky was sort of saying, stop, and trying to pull me back. And there's this terrible sort of moment that sits in my memory still of us sort of pulling the children across this road in Muswell Hill. I had a lot to learn. And there was a car coming. Well, you know... That's why we ran. So I've learned so much from my children over the years. And obviously there's such a, you know, this thing of this relationship between the father and the child. You know, it's such a beautiful image, isn't it, of our relationship with God. We're little children, really, aren't we? We're no more than little children in the arms of our father. So we're continuing this morning with this season following the Alpha course. Happening on Thursdays, and this week we've come to the session called How Can I Have Faith? And so we're talking this morning on this subject of faith. For those of you who saw the video, you'll have heard one of the presenters, Toby Flint, say that faith isn't a blind leap, it's a reasonable step based on real evidence. He then launches himself off the top of a mountain, supported only by very thin-looking string and a rather wobbly-looking kite. And that kite that he was supported by reminds me of this kite. There we go, I did bring it. Yes, I did pop it in there. This kite that we bought many years ago in one of our holidays in France. The great thing about this kite is that it just fits into this little bag, so you can carry it anywhere. Fantastic. The not so great thing about this kite is that although it says on it super looping, we found it incredibly difficult to make the jolly thing fly. We would sort of get it up, you know, we're trying to sort of go out on a day when there was a fair bit of wind, and whoever was trying to fly it would sort of get it up in the air, and it would go up and then just come down again. The interesting thing was, it's so funny because you would stand and watch someone do it and say, no, you're doing it wrong, so let me have a go. Then you would have a go, and it would go up, and it would come down again. And then they would look at you and say, no, let me have a go. And it's like, as the observer, you know, you always knew, you could always see what the person was getting wrong. When you were trying to do it yourself, it just didn't work again. It wasn't until we got to 1 year at the Good News Crusade camp, and I saw somebody flying a really big, kind of proper kite. And I thought, this person knows about kites. And so I asked her if she could help us fly our kite, which happened to be in the back of our car. I think we just sort of left it there over the years, given up on it. And so she did, and she managed to get it up into the air. But her verdict on our kite was that it was like trying to fly a blancmange. It didn't really have any structure to it, so whenever the wind subsided, the kite just sort of collapsed and fell to the ground. And as dear Toby Flint leapt off the mountain, trusting himself to the string, and to me, what looked like a blancmange-type kite, you couldn't but marvel at his faith. But this contraption of string and polyester was, of course, actually a really well-designed paraglider that it looked like Toby had used several times before, who wasn't a novice at this, assuming it wasn't a stunt double. I've got a bit of a sort of, you know, kind of thing. Did they have a stunt double doing all these kind of things? It wasn't on the credits, so it must have been him. And I suspect this thing cost quite a lot of money and was really carefully designed and made of really good quality material. Toby trusted in the designers and makers of that paraglider to not just take his weight, but to be able to kind of steer this thing and land it safely in the valley below, where his colleague would meet him. And then later in the video, of course, Toby's co-presenter, Gemma Hunt, this colleague, also put on the paragliding kit and leapt off the mountain, much to Vicky's delight. Vicky had this thing of, oh, here we go, it's the bloke, you know, jumping off the mountain as the girl sort of, you know, drives down and picks him up. Oh, no, 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 no. She then drove up the mountain and jumped off it herself. What a great way of showing us an example of what faith is. Trusting completely in something or someone. In Toby's and Gemma's case, they were trusting their full weight, even their lives. This was a high kind of mountain, hill, I don't know, it was high that they were throwing themselves off. And they were trusting themselves to the string and polyester that their paragliders were made from, to the skill of the designers, the care of the manufacturers, and the quality of the materials. And then Toby, Gemma, and Nicky Gumbel went on to explain what faith is, this strong trusting in something based on evidence and experience. They talked about faith in Jesus being based on the Bible, the Word of God, and based on the experience of being in a relationship with Jesus with the help of the Holy Spirit. They explained how strongly God loves us. This thing again, the Father's love for the child. Nicky Gumbel talked about the need to open the door to Jesus, to invite him into our lives, and then lead us in that beautiful, simple prayer to enable anyone who wanted to do so. The wonderful good news we take a hold of, in a sense, as we begin our journey of faith with Jesus, as we open this door of our lives to invite him in, is that it isn't the size or quality of our faith that matters. Rather, it is who our faith is in. And Jesus made this so very clear when he chastised his disciples when they struggled to heal an epileptic boy due to their kind of lack of faith. The suggestion was that their faith had somehow become misdirected, misapplied. In Matthew 17, verses 20 and 21, Jesus told them, "For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." And so a tiny faith in the crucified and risen Jesus, no bigger than a mustard seed, is all that is needed to remove from our lives the huge, looming, dark mountains of sin and death. When we call out to Jesus with our mustard seed-sized faith, they are gone. But this is just the beginning, and today I want to talk about how faith works in our walk with Jesus once we have made that decision to invite him into our lives. Just a couple of, I mean, faith is such a huge, huge subject. On Thursday at Alpha, Nick gave me a book by a guy called Judson Cornwell on faith. And I thought, if only I had time to read this before my talk on Sunday. And I read part of it. It was brilliant. And I really recommend it. I've ordered a copy myself from our dear friends. Sorry, anyone doesn't like Amazon, but, you know, that was the only one I can get it from. But a brilliant book, really encouraging. And a little bit of what I'm saying today has come from this this book. But it's a big subject. It's a huge subject. So just touching on a couple of things today. And what I'm going to look at today is just the importance of faith and a little bit of how we feed and nourish our faith. And so the importance of faith, and I'm going to look at four reasons I believe faith is so important. Firstly, faith is key to our entire relationship and journey with God. In Ephesians 2 verse 8, we're told that we are saved through faith, for by grace you have been saved through faith, the verse says. But faith isn't just a work in our salvation. As we pray the prayer to invite Jesus into our lives, in Acts 26, Paul was giving his testimony before King Agrippa about his encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he tells the listeners that Jesus told him he would be sent to the Gentiles to open their eyes so, we read in the second half of verse 18, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me. So we are sanctified by faith. What does this mean? It means that this process of us changing to become more and more like Jesus happens within us through faith. Then in Galatians 2 verse 16, we're told that we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. In this incredible letter that Paul writes to correct the Galatians who were veering towards going back to the Old Testament law, he was encouraging them that it's faith in Jesus Christ that would save them. So we are justified or made right with God through faith. This is both something that happens when we invite Jesus into our lives, but also is an ongoing cleansing and being made right with God. Secondly, our faith protects us. There's a huge amount of wisdom and instruction in the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. But one piece of advice I come back to time and again, and it's this, it's found in Proverbs 4 and verse 23. It says this, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Our faith helps us to guard this most precious part of us, our inner being, the real me, the eternal part of me, if you like, my heart, my spirit. 1 Peter 1:5 tells us that we are those who by God's power are being guarded through faith, that faith helps us to guard this inner person, our spirit, our hearts. And the Bible also speaks of faith as being like a shield protecting us, part of the wonderful armor of God we read about in Ephesians 6, verse 16. Says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Faith in Jesus, trusting in his word, becomes for us like an amazing shield of protection against the lies and the accusations of our enemy, the devil. So we are saved by faith, sanctified by faith, justified by faith, and kept and shielded by faith. Thirdly, I believe our faith is so important because it is, in a sense, it's like the currency of heaven. Those rich in faith, flowing from a close relationship with Jesus, are rich indeed. They are rich in what matters most, fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. They may not drive a Maserati or live on the Bishop's Avenue, but they are rich, rich, rich in what matters. Investing our lives in Jesus by faith is the best possible investment we could make. Where faith is cherished and grown, God is able to do more in and through his people. On the other hand, it seems that a lack of faith can limit God's work. We saw this on that occasion in Jesus' earthly ministry when he was visiting his hometown of Nazareth. He was in the town where he had grown up, amongst people who knew him well, or at least they thought they did. At the end of the account of his visit to Nazareth in Matthew 13 verse 58, we read these sad and challenging words. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. We get the sense here that many mighty works could have been witnessed during Jesus' visit, but because of their unbelief, he was limited in what he could do. In the other account of this episode in Mark 6 and verses 5 and 6, we read this, "And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief." To be honest, if it was me, I think I'd have been delighted to see a few people healed. But clearly, Jesus had so much more in his heart for this visit to his hometown. It seems the unlimited, eternal, all-powerful God was unable to do what he really wanted to do because of unbelief or a lack of faith amongst the people he was seeking to bless. And this unbelief, it seemed, kind of hinged on how they saw Jesus. The problem was that they couldn't get past the young man they'd seen growing up in their community. Although they were amazed at the teaching of Jesus in the synagogue, they couldn't get beyond the fact that this was just Jesus the carpenter, whose mother was Mary and whose brothers were there, James, Joseph, Judas and Simeon, and his sisters were right there with them. The mustard seed-sized faith that moves mountains wasn't alive in their hearts because what they saw was just a carpenter who had an astonishing grasp of the scripture and not the Son of the living God able to do wonders and miracles in their midst. God will not force his blessing upon us. He allows himself to be restricted by the freedom he has given us to choose if we will acknowledge his true identity, to choose if we will worship him, love him, obey him, and believe in him, have faith in him. And so in some measure, it seems our faith has a real influence on what Jesus can do in our midst. He may desire to do much, but where faith is misplaced or misused, he is able to do only a little. The fourth and perhaps the most important reason of all is because, as it says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him, to please God. At this point, some of us might say, oh no, my faith is so small and weak. However am I going to please him? And if Jesus is only able to do work amongst us in accordance with my level of faith, then we're in trouble. Because my faith is weak and he is going to be so very limited. But this isn't a kind of finger pointy, you're never going to be able to please God because your faith is weak kind of verse. Because the writer goes on, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And here we see that faith is a key pressed into our hands by the Holy Spirit on the day of our salvation, on the day that we open the door to Jesus. As we open that door and invite him in, he gives us the key to another door that we can use at any time. It's like he's saying, thank you for welcoming me into your house. Here's the key to mine. Please feel free to let yourself in to visit me and my Father at any time. This key of faith is access into the presence of the living God. The gift of this key is only made possible by the blood shed by Jesus on the cross for you and me. The writer to Hebrews is telling us here that whilst it is impossible to please God without faith, all we need is enough faith to simply draw near to him and seek him. Perhaps to pray the shortest and most sincere prayer of all prayers, help! We do this because somewhere in our hearts we know that he will reward us. He will help us. If there's any desire at all to draw near to God, even just a mustard seed of desire, then that is all the faith Jesus is looking for from you right now. If you're feeling like there is too much going on in life for you to find the energy to invest in faith, too many weights, too many burdens, then look at the wonderful words of Jesus to his followers in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. "Come to me," he says, "all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you want to please and honor Jesus, you just need faith to approach him, trusting in his amazing love and in the power of his blood to forgive us and change us. As Tom was saying earlier, this thing of not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. At work at the moment, we're going through a very, very challenging period. And I'm so glad I'm retiring in a few weeks' time, honestly. Sorry, that's really bad. It's been planned long ago, so, I didn't plan. But it's tough. And the number of times I have found myself saying to my team, "Well, we are where we are." Those words that kind of conjure up the kind of, okay, you know, it's all going wrong, but we just got to accept it and find out how to move on. But I found myself using those words with Vicky as we were praying about something a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, you know what? We are where we are, but Jesus is here with us, and Jesus is helping us. And again, this key, this little key of faith that says, "Jesus, help, help me, help us." That's all we need to bring him in and to know that he's with us. But there's more, isn't there, to just kind of, you know, surviving. There's this thing, isn't there, about faith growing. How do we feed and nourish our faith? How do we get a faith that's growing, that's flourishing in our own hearts? You know, there are times when we all struggle and it's a battle. You know, that's real. That's what it's like. That's life on this planet. But God is with us, and God wants us to grow and nourish our faith. Jesus talked about faith being like a seed again in Luke 13, verses 18 and 19. He said, "Therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." Something so small, this tiny key of faith growing and growing. This is a seed that will become, that will grow and grow into something much, much, unbelievably bigger than that tiny, tiny seed. Something that will itself produce seed-bearing fruit that others may enjoy. This is the beauty, isn't it, of this seed. This seed grows into something that produces more seeds, more fruit for others to enjoy. Our faith in Jesus is more than just a kind of a mental assent to or acceptance of his teachings, but rather it is a living thing within us. It is something we need to tend to cherish, to nurture and nourish, like a beautiful, fragrant, fruitful plant in a garden. So how do I nourish and feed my faith? How do we nourish and feed our faith collectively in this place? The first, I believe, is feeding on the Word of God. I'm just going to talk about two things really on this. Again, there's so much more one could say, but time is short. There are certain changes I've made in my life over the years that have seen me take a real step forward in my life with Jesus, in my faith. And one of these was the first time that Vicky and I attempted to read the Bible in 1 year. And Vicky and I bought a couple of those Bibles where the readings are kind of split up. So you get a portion of the New Testament, a portion of the Old Testament, and perhaps a psalm. I used to love it. I know how much Pat loves Psalm 23, but you know, there are bits of scripture that when you get to them, you go, "Oh yeah, I love this." You know, I obviously used to sort of that day when Psalm 23 came up, you'd almost sort of want to just stop and drink of those beautiful words. I must say we fail to keep up the kind of Bible in one year completely, and gradually we fell behind. So we didn't complete the Bible in 1 year, but that really didn't matter because we were reading God's word. We were soaking it up. I have to confess that there were bits of it I really didn't understand. There were bits I skimmed over. Long lists of names, complicated teachings that at the time I found it hard to fully take in. But I knew it was changing me. I knew that somewhere in here, something was being fed and nurtured and strengthened. And over the years, we've done our best to sort of keep up this habit. I don't know how many times we've read the Bible now, but I know I love it all the more, and I know it feeds my soul, my faith. Every day I spend time in God's word. And the second way I believe we can help to feed our faith as individuals and together is that our faith is strengthened and nourished through spending time with God's people, spending time with others on this journey of faith. It's an amazing, if you want to kind of read a book on faith, apart from the book by Judson Cornwell that Nick gave me, you could read the book of Hebrews in the Bible. In this book, the writer talks about all of the kind of the heroes of faith in the Old Testament. And then in Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25, he comes to us. Let us, he writes, hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. These are wonderful encouragements to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. To hold on to this amazing truth that God has put into our hearts and put into his word. As we meet together, we can encourage one another to hold on to Jesus, the faithful one. We can share our testimonies of how he's helped us, changed us, healed us. I love the encouragement to spur one another on to love and good works. The sense of this word is quite strong, more than just a gentle kind of prod, but urging one another, provoking one another, even maybe annoying one another a bit, with a relentless aim that we might grow in love and good works. Our faith should be bearing fruit, the fruit of love and good works. It isn't something that just happens in here that keeps me safe and happy. My faith is something that the world needs to feel and taste and see. And finally, in this passage, it reminds us of the importance of simply meeting together, that this gathering of his people this morning to worship him, to pray, to share the glorious truths of his word matters to him and helps us hugely. As we draw to a close this morning, let us remember that faith isn't complicated. It's not a difficult thing. It is a simple key that even a little child could use. It is as simple as, Daddy, I need your help. Entrusting ourselves to the love, care, and provision of our Heavenly Father. But it also has the potential to grow within us as individuals, within us, I believe, as a community, to become a kind of a fruit-bearing tree. My prayer is that my faith might grow yet more. I have the feeling there is an awful lot more that could be going on in my heart to do with faith. That there might be more fruit from this kind of faith tree, if you like, within. I believe also that there is more for all of us here, that we could see faith grow in this place. Let's pray, shall we? Let's exercise faith together now and just ask him. Let's ask him for just more of this precious, precious gift of faith. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Daddy, we come to you. your children, your beloved children. We thank you for the simplicity of our relationship with you. There's actually nothing complicated about it, Lord. It's to trust in you, to open the door of our hearts to you, to allow you in, to receive this precious, beautiful gift of faith, this key that gives us access into your very presence. And Lord, all it is help. All it is looking to you and just trusting you a little bit, Lord, that we might trust you a little bit more and a little bit more and see you do more. Oh God, thank you for the simplicity of this, Lord. Thank you that in a sense we bring this message on Father's Day, that it reinforces this beautiful relationship that we have with you as your children. Thank you for your great, great love, for your great mercy, for your great compassion. Lord Jesus, come, we pray. Holy Spirit, we pray, would you increase faith in our hearts, O God. We believe, Lord, we don't want you to be limited in what you do in this place, Lord God. We thank you. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you so much. Lord, you have done so much in bringing us together to this place, oh God. You have done so much, Lord. We thank you for this, Lord God. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for what you've put in the hearts of your people, Lord God, that you would do more, Lord Jesus. Well, we offer ourselves to you. Holy Spirit, we pray, would you come? Would you increase faith and increase faith and increase faith in this place, oh God? Let this be something real and substantial. Let this change the community in this place around us. May it impact this community, oh God. Lord, may it impact our workplaces, Lord, our neighbourhoods, Lord God. Lord, our schools, colleges, our homes, Lord Jesus, Lord, we pray, would you increase faith in this season of desperate uncertainty for the world out there? Would you increase our faith in you, O God, that you have great and wonderful things you want to do in this place, Lord? Jesus, thank you, Lord. I just wonder if you feel, you know, you want more faith, and forgive me, I don't want to put anybody under any pressure, please. Only if you feel in your heart, I want more faith, would you stand and let's just pray. Let's respond to this. If you want to stand now and just let's just pray together. I want to pray for those standing this morning, Lord, those that feel in their hearts just this sense of, yes, I want more faith. I pray, would you pour faith into their hearts, Lord. We pray that, Lord, where faith is needed for challenges and situations, I pray, would you give this precious gift of faith into those situations, Lord Jesus. Oh, would you come, we pray. Holy Spirit, would you come. Amen. Amen. Let's. Have we got more worship? Anything happening? What's going on, Dan? No, it's finished. Go on. Is the mic there? I don't know. It's behind the kite. There you go. Over to you, Dan.
No, that's it. Yeah, I think you've said enough. And no, that was really encouraging. Thank you, Bob. Yeah, we all need faith. We all need more faith. Just one thing that just really stood out is just for us to consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds and obviously growing in the faith. So we're a church, we're a body, you know, we're a team. So let's just have that as part of our DNA as a church, like being encouraging, spurring each other on, trying to, you know, grow each other's faith, maybe sharing a scripture with someone or something that you've had on your heart for someone, and be bold. It might be someone random as well, like, you know, but just God wants to do that through you. So just do it. It's fine. Worry about it afterwards. All right. Thanks, guys.